The New York Knicks are 4-1 in their last five games. Are they back? Plus, we got another Julius Randle update. Let's talk about it.
Let's run that intro. They're playing basketball.
Basketball. You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What is going on, Knicks Nation? We are back for another live stream edition of the Knicks Nation podcast. This is episode 40. Wow, Chris, episode 40 of the Knicks Nation podcast. It's crazy. Appreciate every single one of you guys tuning in tonight. We got a bunch of things we're going to go over. The Knicks, 4-1 in their last five games. Are they back? OG Anunoby has returned. Oh, man. Jalen Brunson, MVP talks. Back-to-back 40-point games for JB. He has been simply incredible for the squad. Chris, man, what's going on, man? How are you tonight, this Sunday evening? How you doing, sir?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Like you said, the Knicks are rolling, and OG Anunoby is back. And looks like, you know, he never left, basically, you know. I'm feeling good, man. How about you? How you feeling tonight?
Feeling good. Like you said, OG Anunoby is back. Felt like he never left, man. And as soon as he came back versus the 76ers, the Knicks didn't lose a beat. We'll touch on his elbow soreness in a bit. Tom Thibodeau doesn't seem concerned about that. We have some audio from Alan Hahn and whatnot. But, yeah, Knicks 4-1, Chris, in their last five games. And, you know, before the Anunoby return, it was looking kind of bleak. But now it seems like they're starting to, you know, they hit this West Coast trip with back-to-back wins in Portland, in Sacramento. So that Sacramento game was an amazing game for the squad. Jalen Brunson, Chris, I mean, back-to-back 40-point games for Jalen Brunson. He has been a rock for us pretty much since he signed on the dotted line last season. I mean, JB, Chris, man, he's been awesome. He's been balling out, and look, he's incredible.
Yeah. He's incredible. That's our all-star, man. That's our all-star. Should have been a two-time all-star, but hey, you know, got it this year. Him and Julius are all-stars. But look, Jalen Brunson has been holding it down for us like no other, man. With OG going down, Julius, Mitch, it's been Brunson, really, who's been, you know, picking up that star slack and producing at a high level every single game he's out there, pretty much. You know, it's still rare that he gives us a dud. And even with teams keying on him, you know, with key guys missing on this team, he's just been amazing for us. And back-to-back 40-point games is insane from Brunson, man. Yeah. Like, will he have another one the next? I mean, I'm about to expect it every game now.
Likewise, man. I expected the same that every single game. This is from the Knicks PR. Jalen Brunson recorded 40 plus points in consecutive games tonight, marking the first time a Knicks have recorded. I can't even speak tonight. Marking the first time the Knicks has recorded 40 plus points in a back to back game since Carmelo Anthony in 2014. Brunson is also the fourth Knick in franchise history to record 40 plus points in consecutive games. That is from Knicks PR, their, you know, PR account. And look, man, I mean, against the Sacramento Kings, Jalen Brunson pretty much he had a big shots in that fourth quarter. And OG Anunoby, his impact in that Sacramento game, Chris, he didn't even score, really. I mean, he barely scored. But how he impacts the game other than offense, it's incredible. I mean, the last five games, the final scores of the last five games. You ready for this for the New York Knicks?
Hit me.
98-74 win. 79-73. That was the Detroit debacle. Loss. 106-79. Not the Detroit debacle. Excuse me. I'm sorry. What debacle was that? 79-73. What game was that again? I forgot what game
that was.
But okay, let me just keep on reading and then you pull it up. 106-79, 105-93, and 98-91. The Knicks are 4-1 of those games. They have held opponents under 100 points, pretty much under 100 points, 90 points in one game. Defense, man, their defense has been incredible during this run, and most of that has to do with OG Anunoby being back, because when OG Anunoby is on the court, the Knicks defensively, you see it in the numbers. They are night and day. They are, you know, a great defensive team with him on the court, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that was the Philly games where we had two back with Philly. But yeah, OG Anunoby, he's been amazing, man. He was my pick for the most important guy to get back, you know, between him and Julius. And you're seeing why. You know, OG Anunoby against the Sacramento Kings, which, again, a tough place to play. Only went 1-for-8 overall from the field. But everything else he did defensively made up for the lack of scoring. And that's exactly what we want OG Anunoby to do. You know, yes, if he scores, that's great. But he's so active on the defensive end, causing turnovers, just, you know, just giving all the hustle you could want, man. He just more than makes up for the offensive, you know, when he has these offensive little lows. And second game back, so I'm not worried about his offense, but just goes to show you how important this man is to this team.
He is, and this is from Kevin O'Connor. The Knicks defense is legit. Just held the Kings to only 91 points with Sacramento at home on multiple days of rest. New York is now allowing an average of 90 points per game in March. Best in the NBA. A vintage-style defense is adapting well to this new physical league. And also, Chris, the league has sort of, you know, they've sort of started to call these games in sort of like a playoff style. They've sort of, you know, Brunson's still getting to the line a lot, but they've sort of like let a lot of things go lately. And I kind of like the way the league has gone. The NBA refs, they're really letting things go, letting calls go. They're not really calling flops here and there. But that's also, you know, a subject in the entire NBA, where the NBA refs are just calling games differently. And that has helped the Knicks tremendously, you know, because we favor that, because we play physical. OG plays physical. Hartenstein plays physical. Dante plays physical. Josh Hart plays physical. So take that into consideration too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I even heard Malik Monk talking after the game against the Knicks, where he said, you know, they asked him basically like, hey, what did you think about the officiating? And he was like, well, I don't want to get fined, but, you know, the Knicks come in here, they play very physical, and, you know, it felt like a playoff, you know, type of atmosphere. And he was like, that's great for us. You know, we'll learn, blah, blah, blah. And he gave the Knicks kudos pretty much and said, you know, they play a tough brand of basketball, basically. He put us up there with the Miami Heat and other teams that play that same style of ball. And you know, he's hinting at it right there too with the officials. You know, they're letting a lot of things go.
Yeah.
As we get closer to the playoffs, the refs are starting to shift to that playoff mode, you know? And I think it's good. And like you said, I think it works in our favor.
I think so as well, because the Knicks, that's why, you know, in the last playoff series, especially the one versus Cleveland, we would just simply manhandle them. And especially even in the Miami Heat series, we didn't come up on top. But the Knicks play a brand of basketball where their physicality is what honestly that they demoralized teams. They demoralized the Cavs. They were, you know, the Heat kind of, it was a back and forth series, but that's the brand of basketball the Knicks play, that gritty 90s New York Knicks basketball, which I absolutely love. And Hartenstein is starting to form into his old self. Burks and Bogdanović has finally, you know, come out of their shell versus the Sacramento Kings, especially Alec Burks. We got a couple of stats here from Alec Burks. He had a good bounce back game, Chris. And, you know, a lot of Knicks fans were worried that, you know, the Detroit guys weren't playing up to their abilities. That trade was, even Quinn Grimes in Detroit has been bad. Yeah. So for both sides, it seemed like that trade didn't work out, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it looked like a good, I mean, it looked like a slam dunk for us here. You know, yeah. I'm not going to lie. At first, I was extremely excited to get, you know, I still remember the trade. It came out first. It was Alec Burks for Grimes. And I was like, oh, no. And then Bogdanović was in it, and I was so happy. But look, we're starting to hear people say that this was a cursed trade or something. you know, because not only is Bogdanovich and Burke struggling over here, but Quentin Grimes, like you said, outside of the one game he had, you know, that fourth quarter against the Knicks, he has done absolutely nothing in Detroit, which sucks because I wish him well. But, you know, what do you think, again, on Bogdanovich and Burks? I mean, looks like they made some noise against Sacramento, a little bit of noise. You know, maybe settling into, you know, a more stable role for them. What do you think is the outlook for Burks and Bogdanovich going forward?
I think hopefully they can build off of this. Look, Burks played 18 minutes versus the Portland Trailblazers. I don't think Alec Burks played in that first half at all. I mean, second half, excuse me. Yeah. Kind of rolled the bench there. So 18 minutes improvement a little bit, 4-10 from the field, 2-5 from three, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, plus 13, 12 points for Alec Burks. That's what we were hoping we were going to get when we acquired Alec Burks, that instant punch of offense off the bench. And it just hasn't been there. It hasn't been there for the Knicks. And Bogdanovich has had spurts, but he has sort of hit a wall here. 4-11 yesterday, 1-5 from three, 9 points. But we know what he's capable of at the end of the day. And I feel like, do you think we're judging the... I know it's been bad. Don't get me wrong. It has been bad in the chat. I see everyone in the chat. Dame, what's going on? Carlos, CM, what's going on? Did we jump the gun in judging the trade too harshly? Because when we acquired OG Anunoby, his impact was instant. We saw it right away.
Yeah.
So when we traded with the Detroit Pistons, people were kind of expecting the same thing. But as we all know, sometimes these trades take a little bit of time. You know, I heard Burke still has family in Detroit and he's sort of living out of a suitcase. And sometimes these trades take time. And so did we judge it too quickly based on the fact that when we traded for OG, right off the bat, he made an instant impact. And with these guys, it's been bad. But I don't know, something I was thinking about.
Yeah, no, I mean I think it's a good point because, like you said, you know, Burks might have some family, you know, his situation probably isn't that great as far as a family standpoint where, you know, look, it's hard for guys to get traded in the middle of a season, you know, going from one team to the next, they're essentially just moving in one night, basically overnight, going to a whole nother state or, you know, whatever. So it must be tough. It must be tough from that aspect. And I think when you do have someone like OG come in and just makes such a big immediate impact, and then you make a trade for Burks and Bogdanovich, you know, who were scoring so well, you just assume they're going to roll in and give you that same production right away.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe in the sense of Burks, we probably thought that he was going to have a bigger impact. But I always thought, you know, we got to give these guys time regardless. You know, if some had experience here in the past, because it's still a different team. You know, this is not the same Knicks team that Burks was on, you know, back a few seasons ago. And I just think they weren't brought here for the roles they got put into. You know, this team was devastated with injuries, still missing Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson. And I think that forced the Knicks' hand to put them in they were being asked to do more than I think they were brought in to do.
Yeah, hit some of these comments, man. Appreciate every single one of you. Carlos says, greetings from Costa Rica. Let's go next. Carlos, man, what's going on? Greetings to you as well. Appreciate you hopping in here. That is cool. Costa Rica, wow. That is crazy.
Love that.
Love it, right? Dame Tube says, how many games ago was this trade? Paris says, New York fans are too impatient. You guys got to chill and let things play out. Talk about Burks and Bogdanovich. Look, it's been bad, Paris. It has been bad with them. They had a good game versus Sacramento. Bogdanovich has been in spurts, right? Has been okay. But all in all, judging the trade, it really hasn't worked out for both teams. I know it's way too soon. Like, it's a small sample size. I get it. But bringing it back to, you know, like I said, with OG Anunoby, when the Knicks acquired OG, it was an instant impact OG Anunoby brought to this Knicks team. Defense, offense, he fit in like a glove. Burks, Bogdanovich, that's a different story. You have them bringing in off the bench, different lineups here and there. Burks has been struggling with, you know, even dribbling the ball sometimes. Burks is losing the ball. But positive game versus Sacramento for both of them, especially Alec Burks. That's what we love to see from Alec Burks. Love to see that offensive spurt that he brought. And we just love to see that. In a game where OG Anunoby's offense wasn't there versus Sacramento, still provided great defense. So going to OG Anunoby, Chris, he actually like kind of, I wouldn't say hurt his, I mean, he was in pain. He was pretty much, he belted out his screen versus Portland, went for a steal, and then his elbow kind of got caught and he was kind of stretching it. Wasn't really, I mean, his shot was kind of flat, even though he did a, after that sequence, he hit like a reverse dunk. He got a steal looking like OG, but I got some sound here from Alan Hahn. But last game, his offense, what was he, 0 for 3? I don't think he hit a 3 versus the Sacramento Kings. And so his elbow, is this going to be, in your opinion, kind of the thing that they have to manage? Or it sounds like they don't really like think it's that serious.
Yeah,
don't think it's that serious.
Yeah, and against the Kings, OG went 1 of 8, 0 for 4 from 3. So yeah. You know, the offense wasn't there. Whether, I don't know if that was the elbow or not per se, but you know, I was worried initially because, like you said, he, you know, in the previous game he yelled, and I was like, "Oh man, here we go, OG, yeah. He's gone." But after that, like you mentioned, Tibbs wasn't concerned. The Knicks didn't seem concerned as a whole, and I know you got the Alan Hahn soundbite that we'll play shortly, but. You know, with all the news and then him playing against the Kings, I felt much better. But I do think it's something the Knicks will have to kind of, you know, just keep an eye on, make sure that everything is, you know, going good for OG. Because you cannot lose OG Anunoby. And look, I'm not saying that, you know, things aren't right with his elbow. You know, structurally, I'm sure that it's fine. And it's just something that he's going to have to, you know, kind of deal with going forward. But again, something to deal with going forward. Do you think that, you know, are you nervous about it at all?
I'm not, because OG isn't nervous about it. Tom Thibodeau even said that it's sore. It's something he's going to have to manage. And I'm going to play the Alan Hahn bite right now for you guys so you guys can hear Alan Hahn. And he also gives a Julius Randle update in this sound bite, which I thought kind of went under the radar. But here's Alan Hahn on the OG Anunoby elbow.
Anunoby grabbing his elbow is definitely something that when you see it, you just go, oh no, because we don't know when Julius Randle's coming back. I'm thinking it's going to be after this trip, I think, but I don't know. But if it were me, that's what I'd be targeting after the trip. Mitchell Robinson, he could be, you know, in contact practice by next week for all we know, but I don't know how many minutes he can give you. So you can't afford anything. Like at this point now, you got to get healthy and there can't be any more setbacks. So when Anunoby grabs his elbow, you're thinking like already going, oh, no. This is like, you can't lose this guy. So Tom Thibodeau after the game did talk about what he saw. And again, it was reassuring to hear that the Knicks did not really show much concern for it.
Yeah, there's going to be some times where, you know, there's going to be soreness. Like, so he played through it. He was fine. Medical looked at him. And, you know, there's going to be times that where it gets hit. We just got to keep going. We'll see where he is.
Hey, Knicks fans. I'm proud to be partnering with Underdog Sports, my favorite place to play fantasy games. You got to check out Pick'em. It's so easy to play. Just pick 2 to 5 stats of your favorite players and choose whether they'll go higher or lower. You can 20x your money by going 5-4-5. I've been, you know, choosing a bunch of Knicks on this, and I'm absolutely loving it. Sound like fun? Just download their app and sign up using my code Knicks to get your first deposit up to $100 matched. I can't wait to see your entries. So, gives a little Julius Randle update. Said he's maybe after this trip we would see another Julius Randle update, but who knows? Knicks still have Golden State, Denver on this trip. So Julius Randle may be back in a couple of weeks. But the OG Anunoby elbow, I mean, you can see the difference on the court, Chris. I mean, he, you know, just takes the pressure off Brunson. He's a, you know, obviously he's a corner specialist in terms of shooting the three-point shot at a high percentage. Park him in a corner with Dante. He can create his own shot. And you're seeing the Jalen Brunson. You're seeing the floor open up for Jalen Brunson, which is why you're seeing Jalen Brunson play like an absolute stud these last couple of games. Back-to-back 40-plus games for Jalen Brunson. So look, he's a major piece of the puzzle. So when you're seeing him, he said it was just sore. He said he's cool with it. He says that it's something he has to manage. But it did get me a little bit, you know, a little bit queasy when I saw it. But I just have to trust and believe in the New York Knicks and OG and Obi. And hopefully this is something that goes away. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like that's the case. This is just part of the process per se.
Yeah.
And you know, and even Bart said in that a little bit after that clip that Alan Hahn was talking about OG's elbow, he said, "Hey, I've been through this 10 times. You know, I've had this procedure 10 times. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel it. It's going to be kind of like a sting. And at first, you know, it surprises you, you know?" He's like, "It's basically your nerves coming back." And he's like, "It's going to be something that's going to be in the back of his head, but as long as he remembers everything is structurally fine, he's going to be completely fine. There's nothing to worry about, and it'll get better and better and better as he goes along." So, hey, man, I'll take that, especially from a professional athlete who's been through it, you know, multiple times. You know, the outlook seems pretty good for OG Anunoby. So,
yeah.
And like you said, man, with OG Anunoby out there, not only for the starters, but just the bench unit as well, we're seeing just the pieces start falling together and fitting a lot better and flowing a lot better than they were, minus OG Anunoby. So, OG, happy you're back, man, because we missed you.
And like Cross Signal says in the chat, 15-2 with OG Anunoby. It has absolutely been a heck of a ride, man. It has been crazy, honestly. OG has done pretty much everything the Knicks have asked for him. Kelvin in the chat says, salute to you, Kelvin. Always appreciate you guys in here. Look, Knicks, back-to-back wins on the West Coast trip to start the West Coast trip. Big win in Sacramento. Huge win. Jalen Brunson, pretty much awesome. I mean, this guy, all-NBA player. Should he get MVP votes, in my opinion, personally? Yes, he should get MVP votes. Absolutely. Because, man, that play versus Sacramento when he... he had what's his name in the dust. Guy was looking the other way. It's like his controller died. That's what I heard a lot. That was crazy.
I've never seen anything like that. And look, hey, that's how smart Jalen Brunson is, man. He noticed this guy was just looking for a screen, fakes a screen call, and just ran right by him for an easy basket. Insane. That's our point guard, though. Just cerebral and just awesome, man. I can't get enough of Jalen Brunson.
Man, I mean, Rick, what's going on? He's questionable for tomorrow. David, OG actually said, I think he said that he was surprised that he was questionable. He didn't even know that he was questionable for Sacramento. And then he went out there and still played. Michael with the super chat, man. What's going on, Michael Parker? Always appreciate you in here. Michael says, the OG effect is real. Thank you for the super chat, Michael. Yeah, man. I mean, this dude... what is he, plus 209 since he got acquired being a New York Knick? That's the best through 17 games from a newly acquired player in, I think, NBA history. I think, wow. I'm getting that right. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's something along those lines. But, yeah, I mean, which is why when you see him versus Portland, you know, sort of grab the elbow, you kind of panic a little bit. But Dib says this is part of the process. He's going to be sore. Look, he just had surgery. It's been a month now, kind of. It's been a month now. So he got elbow surgery a month. That area is probably still tender, still sore. But, yeah, back to JB, Chris. Brunson is shooting 49% from mid-range. Some nerd stats for you guys. 46% from corner three. And get this. His and-one percentage is 37.6%. That means he's getting fouled. He's converting the basket at 37.6%. That is the 88th percentile at his position. He, I think, versus the Portland Trailblazers, he was and one after and one after and one. Still hearing MVP chants in Portland, which is crazy. I mean, Knicks fans are absolutely incredible. They travel everywhere. You hear it everywhere. But Brunson, man. 37.6% and one percentage, Chris. 49% mid-range, and I think he's shooting 51% from short mid-range. He's been incredible. He's the engine. He gets it. I mean, which is why OG being back is so vital, because it opens up the floor for Brunson, and you're seeing it in the numbers lately. and he's been incredible. So
yeah, JB, and against Portland, I think he had like four or five and ones in that game. It was something crazy.
Yeah,
and like you mentioned, man, 37.6% on and ones, and that's not even counting the ones that they probably didn't call and should have called. You know, so it could even be a better percentage, but. That's Jalen Brunson, man. That's, like I said, that's our all-star. He's having a hell of a season. And look, we're getting to a point now where day in and day out, if Jalen Brunson is on that court, you feel good, man. You know that he's going to deliver. You know, even when he starts cold, that fourth quarter rolls around and Brunson, yo, he just turns it up to a whole nother level. So we got to enjoy this time we got with Jalen Brunson, man. Like, it's been a long time since we had a point guard, a real point guard on this team.
Yeah.
And I'm loving every single minute of it.
Paris says, JB is one of the smartest players, if not the smartest, in the league. These Villanova guys are all super smart, man. They're winners. They're absolutely – Josh Hart has been awesome. Dante has been awesome all season. And Jalen Brunson has – yeah, last season, he has improved from last season. And the Knicks said that coming into this season, that they expect Jalen Brunson to take another step. And he has taken another step. I mean, he should have been an all-star last year, but he was an all-star this year. He should be an all-NBA player this year. And we're going to see this continue in the playoffs. Now that you surround him with shooters and Dante, great defender and OG Anunoby. Hopefully, we can get Julius Randle back soon. Mitchell Robinson seems like they're traveling with the team. Seems like they're on the brink of returning. But yeah, JB, man, he's awesome, man. And a couple of Knicks stats here. The Knicks are still number one in the league. The Knicks are still number one in the league in offensive rebounding percentage, Chris, at 32%. So 32% of their misses, they're still number one in the league in offensive rebounding. And that's without Big Mitch.
Literally one of the best offensive rebounders in the game.
But Josh Hart,
imagine once Mitch is back, though, man. I can't wait for that either, man. I still want to see this team in full force, man.
Yeah. And they're 10th in the NBA in corner three-point percentage at 40%. Yeah, when Mitch is back, I mean, I saw some, you know, debates, you know, how would the minutes for Precious come about? But, you know, we'll just get – when we get to that point, we'll figure it out. But it's going to be interesting in a playoff series, you know, minutes shrink depending on the matchups. Precious has been awesome for the Knicks. He has done everything they have asked him since he got acquired from Toronto, and he's been incredible. The bench has stepped up. Josh Hart has been one of the main reasons why this offensive rebounding number, 32%, still number one in the league, has been that the way he tracks rebounds, I mean, is crazy. I think he's one of the league leading rebounders for his height as a guard. So he's been awesome for the Knicks. And look, 4-1 on the last five. West Coast trip is still got some tough games. I think Denver, Golden State, but I love the way they started this West Coast trip. I love the way they started this West Coast trip. And look, there's only how many games are left now? Less than 20. So, and I'll pull up the standings. I'll pull up the standings in a second, but I think Cleveland is playing tonight. So the Knicks are what? Is Cleveland winning? So the Knicks can – the third seed is still in their sights, right? Third seed is still in their sights. Yeah. So this is why every win is important from here on out. And they've shown up this West Coast trip.
No, for sure. The Knicks are just on a roll, like you said. And even though this West Coast trip is still ongoing and they're 4-1, you know, those are some big wins. A game against Sacramento, to me, that's a huge win for the Knicks. I mean, to go into Sacramento and beat the Kings, who were rested at that, with Sabonis having, you know, I've been hearing about Sabonis, how he's just killing Anthony Davis left and right and just putting up crazy stats. And the Knicks defense just stifled him in the fourth quarter. He did not score a single bucket, I think, in that fourth quarter. Yeah. So, you know, the Knicks are playing well, man. Like I mentioned earlier, OG Anunoby coming back. It feels like January again, you know? We're starting to win. We're putting wins together. And hopefully we can continue to string, you know, a few more wins. Why not beat the Nuggets? Why not beat the Warriors, right? We did it once against the Nuggets, right?
Yep.
Can we do it again?
Of course. It's gonna be tough, but we can. I believe in the squad, man. I mean, they've seemed like they've hit a – when OG returned, they've seemed like they've hit another gear. Everyone is playing well, and everyone is hitting on all cylinders. Johnson in the chat, what's going on? He says, honestly, OG's shooting yesterday was horrible. I am not blaming him because of the elbow issue, but it is worrisome. What's your response to that? Appreciate the comment, Johnson.
I don't think it's the elbows so much per se. Maybe it's a little bit sore, you know. Maybe it's a little bit of lingering, you know. I don't know. Maybe he just had an off night, man. It's the second game back. I don't want to make excuses for OG, but you know, it is his only second game back. I'll use that. I just said it and I used it, but yeah. I'm not worried about it. You know, like the soundbite we just played from Alan Hahn and Bart. You know. It's something he's going to deal with. He's going to feel sore. He's probably going to have moments where he's going to yell out again, you know, when he goes and hyperextends it or tries to, you know, go for another steal or something. But I'm not worried. You know, they said structurally his elbow's completely fine and it's part of the process, you know, just in the back of his head. He just got to keep reminding himself everything's okay. I'm good. And, you know, that like you mentioned, he got that steal. He had the yell, reverse, dunk. 2 seconds later, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it yet, but we'll see next game how it kind of unfolds with Elgin Nambi's elbow. But he looked off, Johnson. He looked off. AP says Nuggets are not unbeatable. Did you see what Kyrie Irving did to them today? Yeah, Kyrie with the left-handed buzzer beater. That was crazy. But here are the Eastern. Appreciate you in the chat, AP. But yeah, that was crazy. Eastern Conference playoff picture right now. This is where the New York Knicks. These are all odds. Like this is just predictions. So Knicks are only two games back from the third seed. So the Knicks have a 15% chance of getting that third seed. 3% chance of the second seed. 29% chance at the fourth seed. 30% chance at the fifth seed. 15% chance at the sixth seed. So look, third seed is in sight. Third seed is still a possibility for the New York Knicks. Donovan Mitchell doesn't – I said Cleveland was playing tonight. I had that wrong. They're not playing tonight. But the Knicks are still two games back. And we have that tiebreaker from Cleveland. That's so right. That's important. So Knicks are two games back from Cleveland, and we have the tiebreaker. Take a look at the standings here. Two games in the loss column. That's it. And we hold that tiebreaker. So – Cleveland in the last 10, 4-6, so third seed is still in sight. Let's get it done.
Let's go. I love it. I think we could get it, man. The way we've been rolling, just a couple more wins. I believe we could do it, man. With OG back, the defense looking the way it's looking, just stifling teams, I think we have a good chance to get that third spot.
We do. All right, so we have Golden State and Denver next, and we come home, some winnable games, and then OG Anunoby makes his Toronto return. So at Golden State, it's going to be tough. At Denver, it's going to be tough. But like AP said in the chat, it's not going to be – it's a winnable game. I mean, when Denver came to our home court, when was it, last month, everyone was saying Denver was out. And that was like their last game and their road trip and people were tired. They were giving every excuse in the book as to why the Denver Nuggets lost that game. Didn't give credit to the New York Knicks, but hopefully now we're in Denver's court and I'm sure they're going to be seeking revenge. It's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be easy. But with Jalen Brunson playing the way he's playing, OG Anunoby is back, Hart the way playing he is playing, the great news we're getting out of Julius Randle front, and the defense that the New York Knicks have been playing, I read off the last five games, or 4-1 in the last five games. The last five games, the final scores are 98-74, 79-73, 106-79, 105-93, and 98-91. It seems like I'm reading off scores from the 1990s. It's crazy.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Testament to the Knicks defense, you know, like up and down this roster that we have, these guys are just playing hard, man. Playing hard, playing the right way. And, you know, this is the Knicks basketball we've grown accustomed to before all the injuries, you know. And at that, we're still missing some few key guys. And what's it going to look like once they're back? Probably even better.
Yeah, like Han said in the soundbite we played, he's not expecting Randle back, but after the road trip, expect to start to hear some noise from the Julius Randle front. That at least that's what he's saying. Maybe in the next week or a couple of weeks, we'll see Julius Randle start. Next week, we'll see him start practicing. We'll see him start 5-on-5 contact. We all know those shoulder injuries are tough, man. I mean, there's a reason why the New York Knicks are being extra cautious with Julius Randle. What's his name down in Miami? He had the same injury, and he's already been rolled out for the season. But we all know Julius Randle is going to come back because he's built like that. And like we were saying last podcast, Chris, it seems like, do you think, and in the chat you can chime in, do you think that he'll become a spot-up three-point shooter? Do you think that he'll shoot more threes? Maybe he'll shoot, you know, maybe he was shooting 30% of his shots were threes before the injury. Maybe that number goes up to 40 to 50% of his shots because he's kind of skeptical going down low, playing that bully ball. But either way, Julius Randle on the court is a win-win for the Knicks.
Yeah, it'll be great once Julius comes back, for sure. I mean, this guy's an all-star. We don't know what we're going to get for sure once he gets back, but I do think he'll be a decoy, you know? He'll be a decoy of sorts. Not to the extent where he's not going to do anything, but I just think he's going to be more of a spot-up shooter, you know? He's going to maybe get some post-ups here and there, but for the most part, he'll just be like, you know, a distraction per se. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe Julius is, you know, again, the Knicks keep everything close to their chest. For all we know, Julius is, you know, going all out or something. Maybe it's not as bad as we think it is, you know? Yeah. Maybe they have a plan to manage the pain. Maybe they have some sort of plan for the type of contact he likes to initiate while the way he plays bully ball. excuse me. I think, getting Julius back would be such a boost. You know, I just want him to be back. But with the Knicks rolling the way they've been rolling now with OG in the lineup, you know, who's to say they'll bring him back soon? Maybe they just hold him off as long as they can, you know, because 4-1 the last five games, why rush it?
Yeah. I don't think they'll look like we're winning, like we're 4-1 in the last five. I don't think they have a date set. It's all based on how Julius Randle feels and how he responds to certain, you know, things that he's doing in practice, moves or whatnot. I think that they're trying to take it slow. As long as he's back before the playoffs, we should be all right. Hit some of these comments, man. Always appreciate you guys in here chopping it up every Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We are live streaming, doing the live episode of the podcast. Jay Boogie in the chat. What's going on? Shout out. Family blessings, health, happiness on this beautiful Sunday. Let it be known. Same, we pushing for seeding. Other teams are looking to dodge us for matchups. Look, right now, if the season ended today, appreciate you, Jay Boogie. If the season ended today, the Knicks will play the Orlando Magic in the first round of the playoffs. And I like that matchup.
I like that matchup too, man. But, you know, Orlando, you know, they're up and coming, man. They're going to be hungry. They're one of those teams that I say, you know, they're playing with house money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's true.
But, that's true. Look, I'm not trying to hide from nobody. So, at this point, like I mentioned in the past, let's get our team healthy. Where we end up is where we end up. We got to play whoever's, you know, in front of us.
Rick says we're going to get that third seed. Speak it into existence. Manifest it.
There we go. Positivity.
Dame says, what's the timetable on Randle? It's maybe a couple weeks. Lynette, what's going on, Lynette? I'm feeling good about how far these guys will go into the playoffs. Last year, my heart was broken. Yeah, I feel good this year, man. Especially, I feel amazing. I feel great. I feel like we're in a great place chemistry-wise. I feel like the Knicks are in a great place in terms of coaching. Got the poll in the chat saying, does Tom Thibodeau deserve an extension? What is it at now? Yes, 94%. No, 6%, 52 votes on that. Does Tom Thibodeau deserve an attention? Look, man, Tom Thibodeau's record as the New York Knicks coach is, I have it right here in a second, 165 and 138. People have spoken, Chris. Tom Thibodeau deserves that extension.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, look, I agree at this point. You know, I've said it before where I was kind of like, you know, has it run its course? Is it time for, like, you know, another voice in there, you know, someone like a Johnny Bryant, right? I think at this point, though, you got to keep Tibbs in there. These guys are gelling with him. You know, Tibbs has his knocks. People will always knock him for minutes. You know, it's a bad rap that he gets. But yeah. I think he's done a hell of a job, man. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, that's for sure.
Speaking of the minutes, we got a Candace Parker soundbite that we'll play later on in the podcast. So stay tuned for that so we can react to that. She's speaking about minutes on the TNT panel.
Candace Parker's back, huh?
She is back. But yeah, I think Tom deserves that extension. I think it's honestly a no-brainer at this point. Does he adjust well in certain playoff matchups? Like last season, the knock on him was, you know, the adjustments. People were saying he didn't really adjust well to the Miami Heat adjustments. So, but he has done a great job. He has changed the culture. But I do think, look, 94% in the votes. People have spoken. 54 votes. So I think he deserved that extension. I see someone saying, go look. The Magic fans say they want us. Be careful what you wish for, Orlando Magic fans.
Hey, what wasn't Cleveland saying the same thing the past year?
Yep. They were.
I don't know. Look, much respect to the Orlando Magic because I do think they're an up-and-coming team. They have really good players on that team. But obviously I'm picking the Knicks in that matchup. You know, they might have won the season series, but playoffs is a whole nother ball game.
Whole nother ball game. The New York Knicks are 4-1 in their last five games. They are simply playing. They're playing great. You know, they're playing great. Most of that has to do with OG Anunoby's back. So the Knicks are clicking. They're 15-2 with OG Anunoby on the court. And when he's not putting the ball in the basket, he's showing you different ways that he can impact the ball game. I mean, defense has been honestly probably one of the best defenders in the league. And I'm not bias in saying that, but that's how great he is on the defensive end. We talked about the Burks and Bogdanović. Those of you that are just joining us, Burks and Bogdanović, seems like Alec Burks and Bogdanović, especially Alec Burks during that Kings game, kind of had a confidence booster in that Kings game. 12 points, 2 of 5 from three. I think that's the first time he hit more than one three-point shot in a game since the first game he was acquired, the Pacers game.
Yeah.
So, you know, 12 points, 18 minutes. It's a step in the right direction for Alec Burks. That trade was dicey. Maybe it still is, but all I'm saying is I like what I'm seeing. I like what I saw over Sacramento. I'm not like what I'm seeing, but I like what I saw.
Hey, man, I'll take it. I've been wanting saying, hey, give Burks some patience. You know, he'll come around. I think Bogdanović as well, you know. Come on, these guys are scorers, and you just don't magically forget how to score. You know, yeah. I just think they need a little bit more time and to settle into the roles they were actually brought in here for. And we're starting to see that a little bit now that OG's back.
Yeah, so shout out to Burks. You know, like I said, it seems like the OG Anunoby trade, instant impact for OG Anunoby. The Knicks were winning pretty much every single game. January was absolutely on fire. The Knicks were the hottest team in the NBA. So maybe we judged the Detroit trade too quickly. I don't want to seem like, you know, I'm giving those guys excuses because those guys have played bad, guys. I mean, I'm telling you guys straight up, they played bad. But because we saw that instant impact with OG Anunoby, some guys it takes time. I'm hoping that Burks can build off of this. Am I saying he is? No. Am I saying hopefully he can? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it takes some time. So hopefully he can build off of this.
I think he will, man. Big money AB, man. He's going to hit his stride, and we're all going to be saying how great this trade is. I'll be positive about it because, you know, I refuse to believe that AB is washed and Bogdanović just, you know, can't hit shots anymore. You know, I refuse to believe that.
It was looking bleak there for a while. 101 people in the chat, man. Smash the thumbs up button. Come join us here in the chat, chopping it up. The Knicks are rolling, man. West Coast trip have started with a bang. Jalen Brunson, MVP votes, yes. All NBA, yes. He has been absolutely incredible. hit his man with his controller died versus Sacramento Kings. His controller died. I felt bad for that dude, honestly. He looked lost out there. He thought the screen was coming. It wasn't coming. JB said, went the other way. So that was absolutely incredible.
Man, I'll tell you what. He's never going to fall for something like that ever again. He's going to look out for that every single game from here on out. He's going to remember Brunson.
Paris says those guys are veterans. No need to panic. Speaking about Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanović, no need to panic. But people were panicking on X, on Twitter. People were panicking a little bit. So, you know, hopefully the Sacramento game, that's what we brought Burks in here. Little boost, big money AB, give us an offensive spurt when, you know, other guys don't have it. Like Ananobi didn't have it offensively. We need offense from somewhere else. We've seen Isaiah Hartenstein kind of form into his own here. Obviously, he's dealing with that sore Achilles, starting to get back into the groove. Got some good Randall news. So hopefully Burks can build off of this Sacramento game. And yeah, hopefully you can build off of this Sacramento game. Dainty, what's going on? We just had AB, man, was singly top four players we had on that team. Also, AP says, I absolutely believe Jalen Brunson is going to deliver an NBA championship with the New York Knicks. I am from the Patrick Ewing, Carmelo Anthony era. Jalen Brunson, you can trust. Your response to that, Chris? I love it.
I love that, man. I love that. I'm also, you know, Carmelo Anthony era, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Remember some good times there with Melo. But with Jalen Brunson, you know, he brought back that, just that hope, I guess, you know. Just that good feeling that, like I said, day in and day out, when he's on that court, you just feel good. You feel like he's just going to put up a spectacular performance night in and night out. And I think he could do it, man. I think with this team right now, I feel like once we get back healthy, sky's the limit, right? Sky's the limit. And then next season, you know, with I'm sure the upper management, Leon, Worldwide West, I'm pretty sure they're looking to add something big next season. So, you know, we're on the up and up, man. So I love it, man. I love the positivity.
Look, 15 games left, guys. It's absolutely crazy. I feel like the season started yesterday. 15 games left for the New York Knicks. And I believe they have, I think, one. I mean, it gets after Golden State and Denver, they play Brooklyn, Detroit, Toronto, San Antonio. And then Oklahoma. Look, 15 games left. And the Knicks are right there in that 4-5 seed. Season ended today. It'll be the Orlando Magic. If I was to make a prediction, obviously I would pick the Knicks in that series. But Magic have played us tough all season long. So I don't want to sit here and say the Knicks will run over the Magic. But I expect the Knicks to, you know, obviously beat them, obviously. But like people have said in the chat, third seed is right there for the taking. Two games back from Cleveland, and we hold that tiebreaker. So in a perfect world, obviously you would like that third seed, but with only 15 games left and we own the tiebreaker, it's doable. It's very much doable. And especially if Randall comes back here, Mitchell Robinson starts to come back. Are you expecting anything great? Like Mitchell Robinson, are you expecting him to, I know it's going to take him a while to get back into the groove. I do think the Knicks will bring him off the bench. I don't think they'll want to put that much pressure on him, especially coming back from that surgery. But when he comes back, are you expecting like the old Mitch? Or are you expecting like sort of, it's going to take him some time.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take him some time. And this is something we've seen in the past with Mitch. You know, I remember the last time he got injured, it took him like a good 15, 20 games before he had that bounce back, you know, that quick jump that he always, you know, has, that he's able to block a jump shot. You know, I think with Mitch, it's going to be a slow process. But do I think he's going to get thrown into starting lineup per se? I didn't think so before, but with iHeart rounding back into shape now, little by little, iHeart's looking more and more like the iHeart we're used to seeing. But if it continues like that and iHeart doesn't fully get back to what we know him to be, do you see a window there where, like, if Mitch does come back, they're just like, hey, you know what? Let's just plug you back in? Or at this point, you just think, hey, we've been rolling with iHeart for most of the season. The guys are already used to him. Let's just keep it as is, and we'll just bring Mitch off the bench.
There has been, look, we know Tom Thibodeau loves to stick with his rotation. He loves to stick with the guys that he trusts and believes. Hartenstein has done a tremendous job since the injury. But I think due to the circumstances, I think Mitch would, coming off the bench, and I think they'll limit his minutes up until the playoffs. He'll probably give you like 10, 15 minutes a game. I don't think he'll play the heavy minutes like he was playing 30 to 35 minutes just yet. But I think that he'll give you 10, 15 minutes. And in those 10, 15 minutes, he's going to give you the offensive rebounding like he has been. He's going to give you, you know, the putbacks. He's going to give you the lobs. And he's going to give you block shots. He's going to block everything. So you add him to the mix. But I do think that Thibs would stick with Hartenstein. And I don't think that's a knock on Mitch. I just feel like that's mainly because of the circumstances, you know? If this was if Mitch was coming back in January and the Knicks had 30 games left, and then I see a world where Thibs goes back to Mitch in that starting lineup. But it's a good problem to have. You know, it's not a bad problem.
No, yeah. I agree. I just think, like you said, it's like a situational thing where, you know, Mitch has been out. They obviously want to be careful with him once he gets back. So iHeart's the guy. You know, iHeart's the guy in the starting lineup, and Mitch will come in and spell us maybe 10, 15 minutes. Hey, man, I'll take it. Anything to get Mitch out there on the floor.
Barbara Rowland in the chat, what's going on? Of course, Thibs deserves an extension. Let us not forget where we were before Coach Christos with his presence. Yeah, Barbara, great point, man. I mean,
yeah.
It was a tough, lonely road there for a little bit. And then Thibs came in, culture changed. Brunson came in, changed everything for the New York Knicks. And now here we are, about to go to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. And we can make some noise. Could advance in back-to-back seasons in the first round. But well said, Barbara. Well said.
Very good point.
Yeah. AP says, Mitchell Robinson alone terrorizes a lot of ops. He's like Freddy Krueger. Yeah, I mean, look, you thought I was excited for OG. I'm excited for Mitch. I really am. And that journey, coming back for that injury, and he's such like a, what is he, 7-1, 7-2. Those are tough for those big guys, you know? Yeah. So him even being back on the court, I'm sure he's going to be emotional. But, hey, man, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Again, I want to see this team at full strength because, man, it's going to be fun with having OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson out there together.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Paris says, if everyone's back healthy, we're coming out the East. We're going to the finals. Love the enthusiasm, Paris. And staying stat about Mitch, he was number one in offensive rebounding. He's not coming off the bench. I just read you guys a stat saying that the Knicks are still number one in the NBA in offensive rebounding. And most of that has to do with Josh Hart, you know, his ability to grab those offensive rebounds, his knickknacks for the boards. He's grabbing offensive rebounds above, you know, players that are, you know, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". You get my point. Knicks are still number one in the league in offensive rebounding percentage at 32%. All right, here's a stat from – this is crazy. This is OG Anunoby stat, Chris. 119.9 offensive rating, 117.3 without, 103.9 defensive rating, 116.9% without, 98.2 points allowed per game, 111 without, 42% field goal percentage, 48% without. You get the point. 31% 3-point percentage, 38% without. OG Anunoby just impacts the game in many different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, that's why he was my pick as the most important guy to get back. OG Anunoby, again, is scoring when he's on, great. But even when he's not, he's just so important to this team defensively, getting blocks, steals, loose balls, deflections, anything defensively. He's just all over the court. And he does it, you know, he's just a very smart player out there defensively. One of the best, if not the best,
yeah,
wing defender.
Look, he's built like a position. Tank.
Yeah, I mean, come on, his wingspan is ridiculous. he's just exactly what we were missing, man. You know, a big wing with wingspan who can just lock anybody down, pretty much 1 through 5. So it's crazy, man. He's that important to this team, man. And he doesn't need to score to have an impact, which is even better, and just fits that Tom Thibodeau mold.
I brought up, like, in the video I made about OG, I brought up he kind of reminds me of, not the comparing the two, but Luau, how Thibs love to deploy Luau Deng in Chicago. I personally think OG is a better offensive player than Luau Deng. But, look, we can debate that. But I feel like it's kind of the same ilk, the same mold. But King, what's going on? Says, hey, guys, Knicks fan here. I'm concerned about Anunoby's elbow come playoff time. Yeah, I mean, look, we've spoken about it. Han said that. That we played the Thibs soundbite. He says that they're going to manage soreness. It's going to be just sore from here on out. He had surgery last month, so he shot. He didn't make a three last game. We still have to. I'm like, if I were to give a percentage about my concerns about the OG Anunoby elbow, I would give. They're not low, you know. They're not low because there's times, especially in that Portland game, I was watching him and he was flexing it. Like it seemed like it was bothering him. So. King's game, he defensively, obviously, he massive impact for OG, but offensively, he didn't hit a three. But if I was to give a percentage, maybe 20% concern, but it is a concern, you know, if there were concerns, it is a concern.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, though, to take out of it all, you know, even though OG, like you said, was flexing his elbow, you know, he got a little bit of a scare. You know, Knicks, the Knicks are not concerned about it at all. Tip said, hey, it's soreness. It's normal. It's basically what he had, you know, everything's on track with OG, basically. He's going to have some soreness. He's going to deal with some pain here and there. But most importantly, it goes away quick. Seems like it's kind of like a stinger type of deal. Goes away. Everything feels normal. And structurally, everything is fine with his elbow. So, you know. At the end of the day, yes, he did get surgery, so there is still some caution to, you know, you got to have some type of caution, right? Because this is still something that was surgically repaired.
Yeah.
But like Ann said, you know, I'd say I'm like at a 20% as well concern, you know. I think OG's going to be fine. It's just something he's got to deal with from this point forward.
Yeah. So we just have to wait and see. I think it would be rest would help it. I think rest would help it. 75 votes on the poll. Does Tom Thibodeau deserve a contract extension? Seems like a no-brainer. The way these NBA – look, what did Spoelstra got? Like, he got a lot of money. Monty Williams got a lot of money. So I don't think Thibs really cares about the financial part. It doesn't count towards the cap space. So I'm sure the Knicks – I'm not going to care if the Knicks give him a bag, honestly, because it doesn't count towards the cap. So who the heck cares? But, yeah. Look, people have spoken, 79 votes. Seems like he deserves an extension. Shout out to Tom Thibodeau, man.
Yeah, shout out to Thibs, man. I mean, you've even heard it from Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. You know, they've said it on their own pod where they're like, yo, Thibs, you know, Thibs has a humongous playbook. He's crazy about everything basketball, but, you know, he's their dude, basically. So. You know, Thibs has left a lasting impression on Brunson, on Hart, on the Knicks roster in general. And they're playing like it, right? Yeah. Because everybody has bought into this system. Everybody's playing hard. And we're reaping the benefits right now. So, shout out to Thibs.
Stanley, man, what's going on? If Randle can come back at 85% to attract double teams, the Knicks will be drastically improved on the offensive end. Stanley, man, I mean, agree. Because... we see the impact OG Anunoby makes with JB, back-to-back 40-point games, and his efficiency has been, you know, awesome. His mid-range shot is, I read to you guys a stat, I think he's shooting above 45% from mid-range, if I'm not mistaken. So his mid-range has been there. Let me just get this right. 49% from mid-range, excuse me. But yeah, even if Randle was to come back, to your point, even if Randle was to come back and, you know, just be that threat, because when Randle was on the court, he commanded double teams all the time. So I'm sure teams are going to test him with that shoulder, but yeah, agree. Agree 100%.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it's going to be. You know, teams will test him at first, but if he hits a shot here or there, you know, they're going to have to honor that. And that's something that Julius commands, is those double teams, man. And that's what I mean by being a decoy, you know? Yeah. Once he starts commanding those double teams, he can be more of a passer, you know, a spot up shooter when he gets the open looks, but more so for those double teams, man. Because Julius, you know, he could pass it, man. He's a little wild with it at times, but, you know, that's when he's at his best, in my opinion, is when he's getting others involved.
CM in the chat throwing, hey, mate, what's going on, CM? I'd exchange all four Knicks centers for Naz Reid. That's what CM said in the chat. Look, CM, Naz Reid is a good player. I agree. He's having a good season. But come on, CM. Come on, CM.
I don't know, man. I did want Naz Reid, man. I wanted the Knicks to get him. He would have been a perfect fit for us here, man. He spreads the floor. You know, he's tough inside the paint, does the dirty work as well. But look, let's not downplay what our big guys have done. Ihar has held it down for the most part, and Precious has looked like a completely different player than he did at Toronto. So, you know, I like who we got. I like who we got. I want to roll what we got, obviously. And if we get Naz Reid down the line, I won't be upset, you know? But I won't give up all our guys for him either.
Yeah. Clovins. I hope I'm saying your name right. Clovins says, shouldn't Thibs getting an extension be based on how he performs in the playoffs this year? We saw what happened to the Bucks coach last year. It's a valid point, Clovins. It's a valid point because I want to see what happens in the playoffs, obviously, but I'm talking about in a vacuum. Like, if you take a look at his resume, if you take a look at how the Knicks have turned the corner since he was hired. Yeah. I mean, it started with Julius Randle by himself, that we have a rough season there, yeah, and then we signed Brunson, and then it has changed our trajectory, right? I mean, we still have – you got to take a look at how the Knicks are going to operate this summer too. I mean, they still have all their first-round picks locked and loaded in the chamber. They still have tradable contracts. They'll probably pick up the Bogdanovich option, and we're still flexible. Brunson hasn't gotten his extension yet. He's probably going to, you know, get a bag, and as he should. I think Randle is due for an extension. But you just have to take a look at the whole picture, and I do think Thibodeau has just been, you know, the rock for us. You know, he's been the rock for us. Does he want to make you throw something at a TV sometimes? Me personally, yeah. I mean, with the adjustments and the rotations, yeah, sometimes. But if you take a look at the whole picture, in my opinion, I think that he's well deserved. So,
yeah, but, I mean, I agree with you. I think we could do a lot worse than, you know, Tom Thibodeau as our head coach. A lot of people forget where we came from, you know, before Tibbs, you know, who was the best coach we had? Mike Woodson, I would say, you know.
It's been rough, man.
You got to remember, Tibbs was brought in here to bring stability, to change the culture. And, you know, did we have a couple of rough years? Yes, but we actually had some pretty good years as well with, you know, some rosters that you probably would not think would be coachable, per se. But look, with Tibbs, he changed the culture here, and he did it rather quickly, in my opinion. And then being able to get Julius Randle right, being able to get Jalen Brunson, you know, we're at a whole nother level now. And Tibbs has a big part in that, you know. And like you said, yes, Tibbs drives me insane from time to time. But Tibbs is Tibbs, right? And yeah. If there's one thing about Tibbs is that, you know, he has a proven track record, you know. He's a winner. And he's done nothing but win here on the Knicks.
And the thing that always sticks to Thibs is the minutes. Obviously, Candace Parker, I think it was a few games ago, the Knicks were on TNT. I think it was after a victory. And let me just play the Candace Parker soundbite, and then we'll react to it. Not going to take too long on this subject, but here's Candace Parker talking about the minutes and how Josh Hart's playing a lot of minutes and whatnot, but here she is.
There's more optimism with guys coming off injury or potentially coming off injuries, but you also have to think about the amount of minutes that the main guys have had to log. If you look at Josh Hart, he's averaging over 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson, 35 minutes. You talk about DiVincenzo, you go down the line, and so I just wonder if they're going to be able to get to the finish line healthy, because there's no doubt what noise they can make, the Knicks can make in the playoffs if healthy, but you got to get your guys there. And with them logging as many minutes up and down, playoffs are different.
Yep.
And it's more strenuous, more games, more traveling, things like that. It's just, it's going to be tough. And I think that's the thing is at the beginning of the year, everybody harps on resting and all this stuff. But you're seeing the benefit of maybe not resting games, but playing limited minutes.
Does any other team get talked about like the New York Knicks in terms of the minutes? I mean, look, the Knicks don't have anybody within the top. You got to go to 16 now to get to Jalen Brunson at 35.2 minutes per game. Does Luka get talked about like that? Does any other team get talked about like that? I feel like it's just the Knicks that get talked about like that. And I feel like it's because of their coach, Tom Thibodeau. Was Josh Hart playing a lot of minutes? Was he playing over 40 minutes per game? Yes, in like, what, seven straight games? But he said that he didn't really care about it. I mean, Chris, I mean, I don't want to give this too much attention, but I mean, it's just, I just feel like it's annoying at this point, man. It honestly is.
Yeah. No, it is annoying. And I went straight away to look up the minutes as well. And like you said, 16, you got guys like Devin Booker, Trae Young, Van Vliet, Tyrese Maxey, Kevin Durant is up there, you know? And I think DeMar DeRozan is the leader, minutes, overall. Yeah. So, I mean, look, I just think – I think it's tough for them in the media, especially Candace Parker at this point, to give any props to Knicks, man. It always has to be something negative or just some sort of doubt. I don't know, man. Maybe she just – leaning into it, you know, leaning into the Brunson comments, leaning into that negativity. So Knicks for clicks, right?
I'm sorry, Brunson is actually 18th. I forgot to click the, you know, the leaders in minutes per game. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan is the leader. Randall's still up there. He hasn't played since January. But yeah, Brunson is 18th. Behind, I mean, LeBron is averaging the same amount of minutes. I just don't hear this about any other team in the league. It seems like whenever the Knicks play on national television, they're always talking about minutes, minutes, minutes.
Yep.
Look, these guys have all summer to rest. They're in the best shape of their life. These guys are, you know, the Villanova guys don't want to come off the court. The Villanova guys don't want to come off the court. Brunson, Hartenstein, I mean, not Hartenstein, DiVincenzo and Hart don't want to come off the court. So after a win, that's where you go. Look, I don't know. Cowboy says, yeah, I mean, everyone can read what TA Cowboy said in the chat. David says, maybe it's viewed differently because their physical style we play. So what do you say to that?
I don't know. I just really don't get why it's so hard for them to just give us some props, you know? Give us some props. I mean, I know Stephen A. Smith has been, you know, singing some praises to the Knicks, but even that I have to take with a grain of salt because I feel like that's just a character, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is, man. Like you said, we don't want to spend too much time on it, but whatever, man. I'm trying not to get annoyed by it.
It's honestly that's what happens when you have national media that speak on teams that don't watch the games night in and night out. That's what happens when you have that. Sorry, my camera keeps going in and out. But that's what happens when you have people speaking on teams that just watch highlights, you know? So that's lazy commentating, in my opinion. You just go to the minutes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Do you think it's exactly that? They're just not watching and they just need sound bites, so they just come up with whatever, you know, whatever the stigma is against Tibbs or whatever, you know, whatever they can grasp on that was, you know, something that's not even relevant nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think it is what it is. And look, we're giving it attention, so obviously it probably...
It's working, right?
It probably worked. But look, man, it had to be said. It gets me annoyed. She said... Cowboy said she's always negative towards the Knicks. And look, she had the back and forth with the Knicks fans a few weeks ago, obviously. And she tried to apologize, but kind of went around the apology. But it wasn't really an apology. But yeah, I mean, that's what Candace had to say. And look, the minutes police are out, but especially when Tom Thibodeau is your coach, they're always going to be out. But yeah, they didn't want to give that too much time. But Chris, West Coast trip is still happening. Knicks are, you know, they're playing well. They're absolutely, they're looking like the team in January. Not there 100% per se, but they're 4-1 in the last five. Still got a lot of tough games here. Golden State at Denver. Hopefully we can get Randall back. But and also, sorry for the lack of post games. I usually hop on the post games. But these West Coast games, man, I mean, 12:30 a.m. Those are tough.
Those are tough. Tough, man.
Yeah, those are tough. But yeah. So sorry about that. But yeah, OG's back. Knicks are rolling. Got some tough games here. And look, Knicks have what is it? 15% chance getting that third seed, still within striking distance. 29% chance finishing in the fourth seed, and 30% chance in the fifth seed. So last week it was dicey there. You know, Knicks were what, a game back with a play-in tournament. I'm not saying we're out of the woods yet, but this is why stringing a couple wins under your belt kind of put some breathing room ahead of you, ahead of the play-in guys. But got the tiebreaker with Cleveland, but I'm liking our chances. I really am. Starting to get excited again.
Stringing together some wins, man, and that's exactly what we need. You know, we got to end the season strong, man. End the season strong, solidify the four spot, or even nab that three spot, man. You know, it's looking good for us at the moment.
It's looking good. Donald says DiVincenzo has been balling out, and he's a starter, not playing at his max level. Our guards average over 100%, except Bogey and Burks. DiVincenzo has kind of, you know, struggled from three, but he shoots a lot on him. But he's one of the Knicks' best 3-point shooters. But not worried about DiVincenzo. But he's been awesome this whole season, DiVincenzo. I mean, the chemistry with Brunson, you see it. And yeah, so DiVincenzo would be, I mean, it has been awesome for the Knicks alongside Brunson. The chemistry is just
off the charts, man.
It's crazy.
Off the charts. And we wondered, you know, when they acquired DiVincenzo, oh, man, the Villanova crew, is it going to be, you know, this clique? Is it going to even work out? And, man, has it been something for us, man? Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Brunson, they're just – they work great together. Just fantastic, bro. Like, it couldn't be any better, you know. These guys, they're just tough. They're just tough, and they're winners.
Stanley says we need to beat Golden State tomorrow. We need revenge in Golden State, man. Orlando has a really weak schedule, But we need to beat Golden State tomorrow. I think that's a winnable game. I do. You know, especially the way the Knicks have played. TA says OG will be up and down, but he looks good. Obviously, the Knicks are rolling with OG and OB. He has been incredible for the Knicks. And Stanley says we need to get more Villanova guys.
I mean, Mikal Bridges?
That's a conversation we got to talk about in the summertime. Man. Yeah, man. The Villanova guys, they just play differently. They're different. They're built different.
Yeah.
They're built different. 98 votes. Tom Thibodeau deserves an extension. Yes, he does. Tom Thibodeau deserves an extension. Chris, around the NBA, anyone playing tonight in significance for the Knicks?
That we need to watch. Miami beat Detroit 104-101.
That was a buzzer beater win.
Boston with another win.
Yeah.
Against Washington. Orlando with a win over Toronto, you know, shorthanded Toronto squad. And right now, Atlanta's beating the Clippers 61-44. So that's currently going on in progress right now. That's the only game I think that's in progress right now.
And Milwaukee won as well. So, yes. Look, I mean, this is exactly why, you know, winning these games are important for the Knicks. Robert says, who's your all-time favorite Knick? Oof. You know, Robert, before this season, I loved Allen Houston. I was an Allen Houston guy. I really was, man. Allen Houston, I loved the way he played. I loved his shot. I loved the way, you know, he played for the squad. And I think he has the same birthday as me, 420. So I was an Allen Houston guy, and then I became a Melo guy. And then obviously now I'm a Brunson guy. But Houston was in Sprewell. I remember those, like, Houston was one of those.
Spree.
Yeah.
I was a Spree guy. Obviously, Clyde Frazier. He was one of my guys. Carmelo, obviously, you know. I'll go Amari, man. Amari was big, you know, brought the Knicks back to relevancy back in his day.
Punching that fire extinguisher.
And for a short stint, you know, my favorite player, you know, Tracy McGrady. No? No? All right, no
he
team.
He said his time here was one of the worst times he's ever had as a professional athlete. It was crazy. But yeah, when T-Mac was traded to the Knicks, I was hyped. But during that
I was a T-Mac fan, so I followed his career. Ben, when he came to the Knicks, that was just icing on the cake. They didn't follow him after that because he went to Detroit, I think. So I was like, nah, that's too much. But yeah, Carmelo, and then obviously Jalen Brunson right now, man. Jalen Brunson is the man for me right now. Like, that dude is just insane.
Yeah, he's a man. Frank says 33. CM says Bernard King. CM says Bernard King. Stanley says Milwaukee looked great against Phoenix. Has no defense. They will be eliminated in the first round. Phoenix is a team to watch. Phoenix is a team to watch in terms of the Devin Booker situation this summer. So we shall see. You know, that will be interesting.
Phoenix actually signed Isaiah Thomas recently. So let's see if he has anything in the tank.
We'll see, but look, Knicks are rolling, man. This was fun. This was a fun episode. Want to thank our channel members. If you're interested in becoming a channel member, you can get behind the scenes. You can hop on here, give your take every Sunday at 9:30 for as low as $2.99 a month. Just hit that join button down below. Appreciate every single one of you joining. Once again, I appreciate every single one of you giving the time every Sunday evening just talking Knicks. We're passionate fans. We love the Knicks, and this has been an exciting season, and I feel like this Knicks team is special. So we really appreciate every single one of you guys joining in here. I think we had like over 120 people in here tonight, which was crazy. Honestly, it's humbling. It's
the love.
It's humbling. Dame says Allen Houston is my all-time favorite Nick. I'm 36, so he's what I grew up watching as a teenager. Yeah, Allen Houston, watching him play, man, especially watching it. I loved Allen Houston. Obviously, he had that Miami shot that he hit down in Miami, but Houston was one of those players which I absolutely loved watching. And I thought that, you know, that's why Grimes' shot reminded me of Houston. I'm not comparing the two, but I thought Grimes was going to be not of Allen Houston's ilk, but yeah, but he's obviously, you know, in Detroit now. But
yeah, yeah. That's kind of like the hope I had too, you know, just to be that knockdown shooter for us. But, you know, wishing Grimes nothing but the best, man. I know he's kind of in a rut over in Detroit as well. Still trying to get over that injury bug, but shout out to Quentin Grimes.
Shout out to Q Dot. I mean, yeah, shout out to Q Dot. OG is the man, and Brunson, of course. Yeah, Brunson is quickly becoming one of my favorite Knicks. I mean, he's just absolutely incredible. Donald says best team since 73. Look, January was awesome, and right now the Knicks have a chance to, you know, do something special. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but they have a chance. TA says John Starks. Yeah, love it, man. Yeah. Love it when you guys chime in.
Starks for three.
Frank says Mitchell can't come back fast enough. Look, I'll be when Mitchell Robinson comes on the court, when I see him suited up, coming in off the bench, getting that rousing ovation from the Knicks crowd, is going to be one of those games where you cannot miss. But it's soon. Next couple of weeks, maybe next 3 weeks, we're going to see Mitchell Robinson come back. But I'm excited for that.
Wait for that. Let's just get healthy, right?
Yeah, we got OG. We got one piece of the puzzle. Now Randall and Mitch need to come back, but we're still a great team. Nonetheless, Chris, this was great, man. This was a great episode. Episode 40 in the books.
40.
Look, if you take the time out, Apple Spotify, we're on Apple Spotify. We're on audio version. We post this on the audio side as well. Hit the follow button on Apple Spotify. It really helps us out. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. We're doing this. We do this every Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Got it. West Coast. Let's end the West Coast trip strong. Let's end it with a victory. Two more victories and come back home. And hopefully we get Julius Randle back soon. But Chris, any final words before we head up on out of here?
Yeah, just want to, you know, unfortunately got that the RJ Barrett news where his brother Nathan passed away. just want to say my condolences to the Barrett family. You know, once a Nick, always a Nick. And, you know, prayers to his family, man. Something that I can't even fathom what they're going through, but, you know, wishing them nothing but the best in these hard times.
Yeah, man. Prayers to the RJ Barrett, the Barrett family. And, yeah, I mean, I just, that's awful, man. So prayers up to the Barrett family. But, yeah, man, as always, it is Let's Go Knicks and let's get it done. I'm excited. This was fun. Appreciate every single one of you guys in the chat. We'll be back next Sunday doing this. As always, let's go Knicks.
Let's go Knicks.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.